Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. And through the microscope of Antoni van Leeuwenhoek, Dr. Barbara ten Brink presents us with another young novel about history of a scientist told through the fictional accounts of a young heroine who together they discover the science. Dr. Barbara ten Brink is a prolific author, having published 26 books in 3 years in six genres. She's enjoyed a love affair with microscopes since she received her first one at the age of four. She has 3 degrees in biological sciences, which allowed her to have access to quality microscopes, including an electron microscope, which she studied cells of the water hyacinth. During her career as a science educator, she's taught thousands of students over the years. And Dr. Barbara ten Brink, author of Through the Microscope of Antoni van Leeuwenhoek, our guest on This Week in America. Dr. Barbara, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Rick. I'm so happy to be here. I'm so happy to talk with you about my book.
This is an amazing book, an amazing series that we'll talk about, this series of young adult biographies that you've written and done so well. This book is about the microscope, a scientist, and a young heroine. Set the book up for us, and then we'll get into this account. And it's very personal for you, too, as well.
Oh, my gosh, Rick. All right, so I do have to introduce my fifth biographical novel by telling you that it's my fifth one. I've done 5 biographical novels about scientists. And so let me just name them off real quick.
Sure.
So your audience will know that we're covering every scientist I can think of. Isaac Newton, Traveling with Isaac Newton. Get it? Traveling, Force
yes.
in Motion.
Yes.
On the Island with Charles Darwin. Get it? Galapagos
yep.
Islands. In the Springtime with Rachel Carson. Silent Spring. During the pandemic with Edward Jenner. Now remember, he was battling smallpox. Worldwide pandemic, and he invented vaccination. So Edward Jenner, and this one, Through the Microscopes of Antoni van Leeuwenhoek. So it takes place in 1700. So I'm having so much fun with these antique scientists. Rick, the time is so amazing that people are actually living through these times. And this particular book is not all my scientists, for some reason, were able to find success. They published, they sold their books. Rachel Carson sold millions of copies of her books. Antoni van Leeuwenhoek was a fabric merchant. He wasn't even a scientist. However, he loved the microscope. The microscope had been invented for the use by fabric merchants. Now, Rick, that's what you were talking about when you introduced me, that this had a family connection.
Yes.
Because the microscope in 1700s, 1600s, leading up to the time of our biography, the microscope was invented to study fabrics. I always like to wear a really amazing fabric when I do an interview, because we're not just talking cotton shirts. We're talking
yes.
beautiful things, beautiful, extravagant fabrics. So they use the microscope to study the quality of the threads, of the weaving, of the nubs, of the defects. And Antoni van Leeuwenhoek was a fabric merchant. Now, in my novels, I add a fictional character, and then, just as you said, Rick, the fictional character and the scientist form a relationship, and through that relationship, they discover the science. So let's talk about Through the Microscopes with Antoni van Leeuwenhoek.
Yeah, I love the heroine in this. I love Helena. Talk about, is that you in real life? Could that be you?
Oh my gosh. I only started writing books 2 years ago, 3 years ago, Rick. So back in elementary school, they told you, well, write about something you know.
Exactly.
So we all wrote stories about what I did this summer, you know? Well, now I'm discovering through my 26 books, there is an element of autobiography in every one of my books. You do. You have experiences. Maybe you fictionalize those experiences to put them in a book. So let's talk about this book. Antonio Valle Windhoek was a fabric merchant. Now, the reason he's famous, Rick, is he wrote everything down. That's another thing we need to tell our audience. Keep your journal. Write everything down. Record your feelings. Record what you observed during the day. He wrote everything down, and he sent his letters off to the Royal Society of London. It had just formed in the 1600s, and he said, hey, I'm seeing some amazing stuff here through these microscopes. I'm seeing stuff nobody has ever seen before. And he wrote it all down, and he mailed it off. And so he's famous because of the Royal Society of London. He's Dutch, but he mailed it off. So now, in my fictional story, he comes to Amsterdam to teach our little heroine, Helena, and her family to use the microscope because they are, and this is fact, they are fabric merchants. My husband's family, get ready for this. This is unbelievable.
I love this.
In 1635, my husband's family in Mettingen, Germany, were purveyors of linen. So, Rick, in 1635, they simply carried a bolt of fabric under their arms and walked off. They were carrying fabric throughout Europe. And then some great-great-great-grandfather decided, hey, let's buy boats and send fabrics all over the world. They were importers, exporters of linen. So now here's the fiction. And it's so fun. It's so fun. Everybody, read my book. It's so extravagant. These fabrics are just over the top. The time of life is over the top. And the people are very, very affluent. So, yeah, we don't relate to that. We, you know, we're not eating on acres of silver flatware. But what is fun to read is a time in our history when wealth was exhibited through fabrics, through an extravagant lifestyle. And Antonio Valle Windhoek, this is fiction now, he meets with my husband's family, the Tenbrinks. This is true. They were fabric merchants. That's true. And they now bring Antonio Valle Windhoek to Amsterdam to meet with all the fabric merchants and teach them how to use a microscope. How fun is that?
It is fun. It is such a great read. The guest on the program is Dr. Barbara Tenbrink. Ten is T-E-N, small t, and Brink is B-R-I-N-K. Her website, and I'll give you this throughout the conversation, author BarbaraTenBrink.com. Book available wherever books are sold. The name of the book is the Through the Microscope of Antonio van Leeuwenhoek. And I'm getting that, I think, fairly close to the pronunciation, but we'll give you all of that as we go through. And we've got a link on our website, so don't have to worry about spelling. Just go to the website and click it on. Talk about the story, because you do such a masterful job of merging. You do science, history, microbiology, geography, fabrics, all of that. It's not just history or science, is it? You've got all of these elements together. How much fun was that to weave this book together? And weave is probably the correct term.
Oh, I love that word to describe this book, because they're dealing with fabrics. The fun thing for your audience is it's so broad. The topics are so broad. You are so right, Rick. They're not just looking at fabrics. Antonio Valle Windhoek is called the father of microbiology. Yes, he's a fabric merchant, but he said, hey, what if I look at water? What if I look at pond scum? Rick, he scraped the plaque off their teeth and looked at, bleh,
yes.
And called these animalcules. He said, hey, there are more animalcules in my mouth than in all of Holland. And they, oh my God. So I use my experience as a science teacher to, well, what microscope labs do science teachers do with their students? Well, Antoni von Leeuwenhoek and our heroine, Helena, they do exactly the same experiments that we want our students to do in our classrooms today. They look at onion skin. Baby, that's biology 101. You peel an onion, you look at the cells. It's, and they keep their journal. That's a theme throughout all my books. They write everything down. It's just so fun. The other thing that, Rick, we need to emphasize to your listeners is Helena has an amazing lifestyle. She has a very privileged lifestyle. By the generations that Helena is, the family wealth has grown exponentially. Boats are coming in from the Orient, from Africa, from the Americas. It's unbelievable, the wealth. But what I want your audience to know is that in my book, Helena's mother teaches her humanity. She teaches her kindness and humanity. So when they go looking for specimens to look under their microscope, she and Antoni von Leeuwenhoek, they visit with farmers and sailors and docksmen and bakers to look at yeast. Her mother emphasizes humanity. So the book starts with the question, with the statement, hers was a life of privilege. And that's true. Oh my gosh. I'll tell you about the town of Mettingen here in a second. The book starts with hers was a life of privilege. It ends with what was the privilege? Was it her great wealth? Or was it the privilege of working with yes. Antoni von Leeuwenhoek?
Like side by side. This is so exciting on so many levels. This is a book that you could take in the classroom and throw the textbook aside and use this, and people would learn. And with you, the teacher, and your enthusiasm, everybody would learn in the classroom. This is designed, this is part of the young adult series. This is what junior high school and high school age students, right?
Correct. I use the very students. I'm visualizing my teaching. I'm writing, but I'm visualizing my teaching. And I taught junior high and high school. I also taught college. So I target the audience to be young adult readers.
And it comes alive. I can see kids going into a science class and going, oh, another science class. And all of a sudden, Barbara's at the head of the classroom, and she's got her pictures up on the wall, and she's got that smile on her face and that enthusiasm. You can almost, I would think, stand in front of the kids and see the light bulb go off. And like, this is really cool. What a great way to present science. And this is, and so many other elements. I hate just to call it a science book, because a science story, because there's so much more there to that. I want to ask you, boy, time is going by so quickly. We'll have to do this again. So much more to talk about. But your fascination with the microscope began at age 4. What was that, the microscope, that really captured your attention?
Well, for one thing, I was very young. And the legacy my parents gave me was this enthusiasm that you see here for science. We were a military family, so we lived all over the world. And we took advantage of every environment to go out into the nature. We hiked the Bavarian Alps. We hiked Mount Fuji. We walked everywhere. We looked at things. My parents took me to every science museum in Europe. And I just have always loved science. Every one of my books, all my poetry, they're all science themed.
And you'll find all of the books listed at Dr. Barbara's website, which is authorbarbaratenbrink.com. I'll spell that at the end here, but you can find that direct link on our website. All the books are there. Of course, Amazon, the usual places, mainspringbooks.com, wherever books are sold, you will find this. I want to talk about chances for, you're a young woman at that time, 4 years old, the science opens up. What was it like being a young girl in science at the time? We hear so much that maybe you sort of take a backseat to the boys in the classroom, the whole STEM thing we're going through now. Did you find that in your career as you were studying science and teaching?
It is, Rick, you're talking about the glass ceiling.
Yeah, exactly.
And my career, I have a PhD in science. I'm also a very motivated person. I'm very ambitious. And my theme for my life has been promote science. Oh my gosh. So every job I ever had, the State Department, I was science director for the state of Texas. Can you believe that?
Wow.
And I preached this promote science. So while I was doing it, I would like to tell you that I didn't see a glass ceiling. I'm so confident. I'm so enthusiastic. I became president of the International Science Teachers Association. So while I'm in my career, I didn't see it. But now looking back, I see it a lot. Like one example, on a dais with science education dignitaries, I was always introduced as Barbara. Now, excuse me, I'm Dr. Tenbring.
Yes.
I earned that. So, yeah, there's a glass ceiling. Don't think there isn't. It doesn't matter if a person's confident enough, enthusiastic enough, and they have a passion for what they do, they will overcome those things. Or in my case, I didn't notice them until later, when I reflected on it and I went, wait a minute. Yeah.
But that's interesting how it sort of came to you later that, well, maybe I wasn't quite an equal footing with some of the others, but I didn't need to. I caught up with them. In many cases, I passed them. So I'm doing okay. Talk a little bit about the Tenbring family. I mean, this is not just a name you throw out there. This is a prominent name in what you've got, museums and all sorts of things for the Tenbring family.
Well, what I love about my books, and I verify and justify all of the science in my books. So Antoni von Leeuwenhoek, we know his history. He recorded it and mailed 50 letters to the Royal Society of London. The other fact that we can check and recheck is the town of Mettingen, Germany, has dedicated the entire town to the Tenbrinks, because the Tenbrinks in the 1700s built the town. They built the cathedral. They provided for every merchant, every craftsman in the town. They made sure that everybody benefited from this wealth that was pouring in because of linen. And there are sculptures to prove this. There are frescoes on the walls showing the tall ships that the Tenbrinks owned. There are maps on the frescoes that show where the Tenbrinks went with their linens. And even the ledgers are recorded in frescoes on the walls.
That's just so impressive. Our guest is Dr. Barbara Tenbring. I'll give you the information. A few minutes left in the program, going by so quickly here, but I want to talk about this formula that you use in this book. The book is Through the Microscope with Antoni von Leeuwenhoek. You use in the others. Talk about that, because Helena is not the only young heroine, right, that's out there in your book series. You use one in all to tell the story.
I do. I want people to enjoy the science. I'm going to promote science, but while you're reading my books, it should be entertaining.
Yes.
And so we're reading about Isaac Newton, Charles Darwin, but there's always a young adult that enters into that scientist's life, and together they form a relationship. Charles Darwin is a good example. I went to Galapagos. I lived on Galapagos for 3 weeks. And there are indigenous natives on Galapagos who hire out, get ready for this, this is amazing, as young naturalists. So now this boat docks in 1860, whatever. And the young man meets Charles Darwin and says, I'm going to help him explore my island. Oh my gosh, it's so sweet. It's so sweet. They share so much, so many experiences. They see things that Charles Darwin would never have seen if he had just walked around the coastline. Yes. No, he went up into the volcanoes and he went, you know, with this young naturalist. Same is true for traveling with Isaac Newton. He is invited to the coast of England on a family vacation with his next door neighbor. And so in that family vacation, travel, force and motion, gravity, friction, optics, he teaches his little friend that is a member of the family. So it's just really sweet. It's fiction, I hope. And we need to say this, Rick. In the back of my book under teacher's notes, I asked the reader how to best engage with the book. And so I always ask the question, can you separate the fact from the fiction? Where did the author take a license and go into fiction?
Interesting.
And where is the fact?
You know, you display science in such a fascinating way. Adults can learn from this as well. Just when we thought we went through years of science, not like this, because this really comes alive. And from a young adult standpoint, it's like suddenly this is not just getting through science. This is, I can't wait for another class with Dr. Tenbrink, because this is really fascinating material. I see this as a great video series. Have you talked about doing anything with the young person and the scientist at various points in history?
Well, I do have two book trailers. One of them is Traveling with Isaac Newton. It's on YouTube. It's a book trailer. And it's really well done. It's real cute. And my book trailers are cute. They're well done. Yes.
Do you miss the classroom? What, like 49 years you were in the classroom, literally taught thousands of children, young adults, probably, and their parents during the course of that 49 years teaching. Do you miss that? Although this is an extension of the classroom, isn't it?
Well, okay, so I'm going to tell you something, Rick. COVID did a number on public education.
Oh, yes.
I mean, and private education as well. Schools closed down. Kids didn't come. Teachers didn't come. COVID did a number. So for me, after 49 years, I said, for me, it was over. It was over. And so this is, I get to teach in a whole new way. Now I'm actually collecting my thoughts in a way like legacy. My books are my legacy.
Yes.
So the lessons are in there that I taught all those years, but now they're in a format that anybody can enjoy, and they're a legacy for my granddaughter, etc. It's very rewarding, I have to say.
They are very entertaining and, again, touch on so many different aspects, different elements, science, history, microbiology, geography, fabrics in this particular case. And that love, that enthusiasm, that passion comes through the screen, as I'm sure it came through in the classroom when you were there teaching. It's such a fascinating book. And this is the fifth in the series, the Science Young Adult Biography Series. All five are now available. This one is Through the Microscope of Antoni van Leeuwenhoek. All of them are available. You can find them at Amazon, of course. You'll find them at her website, author, BarbaraTenBrink.com. And you can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Barbara is B-A-R-B-A-R-A, small T-E-N, and then capital B-R-I-N-K. Author BarbaraTenBrink.com, again, is her website. So much more to talk about. I would love to have you back on the program. Thank you for joining us on the program. Continued success. What are you working on now?
Oh, thank you for asking. Well, I always have about four books open on my computer. So I'm always writing poetry. I'm always writing. You may be familiar with this form of poetry called haiku.
Oh, sure.
I have written 9 volumes of haiku. And but I have another young adult novel, biography novel, Into the Canyon, as in Grand Canyon, Into the Canyon with Mary Coulter. Remember, Mary Coulter was the architect with the Fred Harvey Company and the Atchison, Topeka, Santa Fe Railroad. So that's my next young adult biography.
Oh, fascinated by that. I'm sure there's a great story there, and I can't wait to have a chance to talk about so much that we can discuss in future programs. But you can enjoy the work that Dr. Ten Brink has done so far with all of her books. Again, it's author BarbaraTenBrink.com. All this available on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. This particular book, Through the Microscope of Antoni Van Leeuwenhoek. Doctor, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you for joining us. Congratulations on the success of these books, and not in the classroom, but reaching thousands of children, young adults all across the world. Thank you for joining us on the program.
Bye, Rick. Thank you.
Looking forward to having you back. Our guest, Dr. Barbara Ten Brink. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.